And so as we move in today's scripture, I am reminded of the saying that without a woman preacher, no one would ever have known about the resurrection. Those words make me smile. They have heartened me. They have reminded me of my own call. And they give me the faith to assure each of you that if I am called, then each one of you is called too. And that God has a message and a word for each one of you to share. And so I invite you to hear Mark's account of the first person to witness the resurrection.
Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. Now after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, for whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
The Innocence Project is dedicated to finding people who have been falsely accused and convicted of crimes, often capital crimes, and working to get those unjust convictions reversed. They've had some success, and one of the things that they have noted is that of the unjust convictions, the inaccurate convictions that they've gotten overturned, 70% of the innocent people who were falsely convicted were convicted on the basis of eyewitness accounts. So that of 70% of the people that were falsely convicted, there was somebody in the courtroom that was willing to say, I saw this person do this thing that in reality they had not done. Why would somebody bear false witness? Why would they be an unreliable witness? Well, perhaps they didn't see as clearly as they thought they did. Perhaps there was enough forgetting between the moment that they witnessed the crime and by the time they then looked at some suspects and they thought that maybe some features had changed. Memories, human memories are very inaccurate, it turns out. And of course, there are those for whom they may have known that they were giving false witness. They may have known that they were lying, but they had some investment in the outcome. Maybe it would get them off if they accused the other person, or maybe somebody was imprisoned and would get a reduction in their sentence if they testified. There were all sorts of reasons why 70% of those innocent people who were falsely convicted were done so on the basis of eyewitnesses. You see, if you are a prosecutor, you want a credible witness. You want a reliable witness, somebody who is competent to give evidence and is worthy of belief. In general, a witness is deemed credible if they are recognized as a source of reliable information about someone, of an event, or a phenomenon. And so if I had been in charge of the resurrection, I would have made sure that there was a credible witness to the resurrection. I would have made sure, maybe more. I would have had Pontius Pilate there and maybe brought Caiaphas, the high priest, so that you had the highest civil authority and the highest religious authority. I would have had them come to the tomb with perhaps some soldiers or other priests to be a witness so that when they arrived there and the stone was rolled away and an angel was there to say, he is not here, he is risen, that it would have been Pilate and Caiaphas whose jaws would have dropped. And there would have been a lot of people to watch and witness this event. It could even have paved the way for a courtroom interrogation. So, Mr. Pilate, you are saying that you had Jesus put to death. Yes, I did. And are you sure that this happened? Well, yes, I had some of my best men on it. And you had the tomb guarded? Oh, yes, again, by some of my best men. And then, Mr. Pilate, you are saying that you yourself saw that the tomb was empty and an angel was saying, he is not here, he is risen. And I would have loved to be in that courtyard to see Pilate turning red and look embarrassed, but say the truth. Yes, that is what I saw. That would have been a credible witness. That would have been somebody that you could pay attention to. That would have been a reliable witness. And that is exactly the opposite of who God used that resurrection morning. We are reading from the Gospel of Mark. And as you know from Mark, Mark is the efficient gospel writer, the pared down gospel writer. Mark tells the entire story of Jesus in 16 chapters. And when you read Mark's gospel, you get a sense of urgency. Immediately Jesus did that, and then immediately Jesus went here, and then suddenly this happened. And in his 16 chapters, Mark keeps it moving and keeps just the details, the necessary information there. And so it shouldn't be a surprise that in Mark's account of the resurrection, you have one woman going to the tomb, because why do you need more when one will do the job? And so Mark tells of when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. And if you want to talk about an unreliable witness, there you've got Mary Magdalene. What was the matter with her? Well, first of all, she was a she. And in that day and in that age, as you remember, women were invisible. They were on the margins, on the fringes of society. When you were doing head counts, you wouldn't count the women. And if you're looking for a reliable witness, you would not go to the woman because they don't count. And their word doesn't count. But it was more than that, because Mary Magdalene came with some baggage of her own. Yes, some say that she was a prostitute. It's likely that that was more a church tradition that arose. Biblical scholarship does not prove that. But what we do know about Mary, and what we hear in the scripture, after he rose on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. That's the identifying thing about Mary Magdalene that we know. She did not have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 demons. She had 7 demons. Why 7 demons? In Scripture, the number 7 is pretty consistently used. How long did it take God to create the world, including the Sabbath? 7 days. And from then on throughout Scripture, whenever you see the number 7, you see wholeness, you see completeness, you see it is completely done and finished. And so when Mary Magdalene has 7 demons, what we know is that she was completely possessed by powers beyond her. There was not a part of her, there was not an iota of her that was free from evil. That she was fully encompassed by all of these things that were affecting her body, mind, spirit, and relationships. There was not a part of her that was not wounded. And yet Jesus cast out not 1 or 2 or 3 demons. He didn't say, oh good, your headaches are gone, I'm sure you'll feel better, you're good. He cast out 7 demons. Mary Magdalene was perfectly healed from all that had kept her captive for so long. She who had suffered in every way possible was now free in every way possible. Oh, Mary Magdalene was an unreliable witness to the resurrection because she had so much at stake, so much invested in what Jesus said. Who she was because of what she said. And her witness to the resurrection was not without bias. We know that. She was an unreliable witness. And in fact, when she went to bear her witness to the other disciples, they didn't believe her. They didn't believe a word that she said. Oh, if I had just been in charge of the resurrection, I would have made sure that there were credible witnesses that could have been proven in a court of law. The disciples would have had to have listened. But no, God chose this unreliable witness. And yet God chose exactly the right witness to the resurrection. You see, unreliable witnesses are all that God has ever had to work with and all that God ever will. We've all been healed by Jesus in various ways. We have all had wounds and hurts, some physical, some mental, emotional, spiritual, relationships, whatever they are, we have those wounds. And there may be times where it feels like there is not a part of our being that is unscathed by our wounds, but we also know that Christ offers hope and healing so that there can be not a part of us that is untouched by the grace of Jesus Christ. You may be sitting here thinking, yes, I know what you're talking about. I know some of these things from which I have been healed. And if you're sitting there thinking, I'm good. I'm pretty good. I'm getting along fine on my own. I don't really have anything like that. Then let me just offer to you that I think you've just found the first thing from which you might need to be healed, that over self-confidence and over self-reliance. Because Christ has brought us all wonderful healing in every way that we need. Jesus heals us from the things that Paul calls the sin that clings so closely. We are able to bring our unbelief, our despair, and the evil that dog us. And Jesus transforms those things into faith and hope and love and makes into us new creations. Every day we're being healed in ways big and small. In Mark, two verses after this passage, because Mark's moving things along quickly, Jesus, the risen Christ, is talking to all of his disciples. And he tells them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to all creation. This unreliable group of witnesses, these people that followed him so imperfectly when he was preaching, who abandoned him at his time of death, who did not believe the witness that God appointed and sent to them about the resurrection. It is this unreliable group of witnesses that is who God sends, who Christ sends into the world to speak about the love of God. And it's the same way with each of us, because we're each imperfect. And we each have a story to tell. Not that we're perfect, but that we've been healed. And still that we're not perfect, but that we are perfectly loved. And as unreliable as we are, it's the story we've got. And we're the ones that God needs to tell our story. So keep speaking your truth of Christ's love for you. Sometimes you'll be believed. Often you won't. Because that's kind of the way it's always been. And it's definitely the way that God does God's very best work. Will you pray with me? Oh Christ, I thank you so much for the witness of Mary Magdalene. As unreliable a witness as she was, that's as unreliable witnesses as we are. And yet you speak in and through her, and you speak in and through us all of these thousands of years later. So continue to allow us to tell our story of your love for us. Amen.